In the name of Jesus. Amen. When I was in a lower grade in the elementary school, an assignment was given by a homeroom teacher to write a sentence with the title, My Dream. They say that I have written, I want to be a pastor who drives a car. I would like to go to the whole world and to preach the gospel. It is true that I did not have a profound sense of vocation, such as we hear in Borges' novel, The Hammer of God, when he let Savonius say, I want to be a pastor, a real pastor. But the desire to become a pastor was nurtured through the Word of God. An example of my father, who was always rejoicing in the work of evangelism, preaching of the gospel, and who, by the way, drove a car, an old and small Toyota of mere 0.7-liter engine. I'm sure that you have your own story to tell how you were led to this seminary. Pastor is a wonderful vocation. The holy ministry is a marvelous office of service, which also gives those who are in the office great joy. And today, we deeply rejoice with David and Derek and Jared, their family, and with the whole church, that the Lord will announce his call to you into the field of labor. This is also an occasion of thanksgiving that the Lord has answered our prayers to raise men for the sacred ministry. In addition, we thank the Lord for the great Christian patience and humility that Derek and Jared, especially with their families, illustrated in this challenging process. However, our text invites us not into a happy occasion, but quite the opposite. The Jews picked up stones, ready to throw them at Jesus in order to kill him. And they thought that they were doing the right thing, following the law of Moses. Is this an encouraging text to hear in the call service? What will you do when people that you serve would hate you so much that no matter what you do and say, they would get rid of you, thinking that they are doing the right thing following a certain human regulation? We wonder how it was possible for the Jews to hate Jesus that much. It was a God-sized hating. You can only hate God as much as you have to get rid of him. And they eventually succeeded it on Calvary. If one cuts Jesus down to saying a bunch of nice teachings, one can never understand why they hated him so much. What was there in Jesus' message that made them say, we have to get rid of him? What were they trying to defend against Jesus? The Jews in our text wanted to get rid of him to protect the God they thought that they had in the law of Moses. They say, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because being a man, make yourself God. Today, if someone rejects Jesus, you may ask them, what is it that you are trying to protect from Jesus? They know that if Jesus comes and he says what he says is true, and he is such a Lord, then there are things in their lives that are going to have to go. People so often give spurious reasons for rejecting Jesus. Then we need to press right through to the bottom of why do you say no to Jesus? What is it that you are defending against Jesus? What is it that he is a threat to? My own sister-in-law had two big suitcases when she appeared in the church back in Japan on the day of her baptism. She was then a college student. On that morning, before coming to the church, she was disowned by her parents. Not knowing where to go home after baptism, she had two big suitcases. When people question you in your ministry saying, why are you baptizing this baby? Or who are you who dare to absolve people saying, I forgive you all your sins? And is it not only God who should do that? What will you say? What about when you get tired of being a pastor and ask yourself, what in the world am I doing? Is there any worth in what I do? You may not encounter a kind of hating that Jesus received, but you may face oppositions and questions about you being a pastor. How would you answer them? How did Jesus answer? He replied with a proclamation about his apostleship by way of two things. First, he quoted a psalm saying, to him the word of God came. Secondly, he said that it was the Father who consecrated and sent him into the world. That a word of God put on him and that he was sent by the Father. These were his answers. Indeed, there was a word of God put on Mary's womb through the angels. The word became flesh and tabernacled among us. To the star were added God's words of promise, which led the wise men to Bethlehem. And there are God's own words put on Jesus at his baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How will you answer when people and yourself ask a question about your preaching or your baptizing? Why not learning from Jesus in our text? To you also, the word of God came. Do we talk about our baptism? Yes. With the water, his name was put on you at your baptism. You have the word of God put on you. And because he is the beloved Son, we with him and in him are beloved sons as well, just as Dr. Marquardt so eloquently and beautifully proclaimed to us the other day. Do we also talk about the ordination? Yes, indeed. The words of the Lord will be put on you too, there. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Forgive the sins of anyone. As you are going to the place where I sent you, make disciples of all nations, baptizing, teaching. Behold, I am with you, always, to the end of age. Dr. Martin Chemnitz taught in his Lord's Eye about the Holy Ministry in this way: we must not think that the lawful call takes place out of some human regulations, arrangement, or only for the sake of good order. But the reasons are very weighty. Because the ministry of the word is that of God himself, which he himself wants to carry out through ordained means and instruments in his church. The real heart of the ministry is that God, by his Spirit and his grace, wants to be there with the ministry and through it work efficaciously. David, Derek, and Jared, you have a desire of being a pastor. Through your diligent study and life at the seminary, sustained by the prayers and support of your beloved ones and the entire church, you have come to this point. You know that your job in the office of Holy Ministry is to draw attention not to yourselves, as a clericalist would say and do, but to Jesus and to his words. Separate the pastor as an independent item, and he is done for and will be no more use than his own doing it. Only the Lord's doing lasts to unfading glory. And our Lord will share with you the joy of his doing, which lasts for eternity. Your confidence does not come from your knowledge, skill, leadership, piety, or even passion for the lost, but from outside yourselves. the only unshakable foundation for the holy ministry, is that it is Jesus who calls you into it. It is Jesus who puts his words on you, and it is Jesus who sends you to preach, baptize, and give out the body and blood of the Lord. Do you want to be a pastor? Yes, it is Jesus who wants to use you for his continuing ministry here on earth. In Christ's name.